welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? If you're lonely, you're bored, you don't know what to do. Oh, let's spend some time together. Let's have a nice visit. Get out the decoupage glue. You can do some of that. Do some needlepoint. You can just drive your car, maybe sip some coffee. Let's visit. I love being with you. Hello, my friends. Today, I want to speak to you using words. Words, words, words. Wasn't it Motley Crue who said, words, 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 the dollhouse in Fort Lauderdale? Words we can use to describe things, and they evoke images. Oh my gosh, they are everywhere. They are useful, and they are harmful. I can use words to help you. I am helping you. Or I can use words to harm you. I am harming you. So words themselves are sort of a neutral tool. You can use a hammer to help someone. I'm helping you with this hammer. Or you can, ow, stop hitting me with a hammer. They can go both ways. Oh my gosh, words. They're what get in your head, aren't they? When you have an obsessive thought or something, it's in the form of words, language. You're soaking in it. And that's what I mean by thinking. You're thinking in it. What about thoughts that don't contain words? What are they? I don't know. I've never thought about it. I know, but you're saying I've never thought about it in words. Oh my gosh, we're trapped. So I wanted to talk today about those words. You know, who's coming up with them? Where did you get your words? You should know where you get them. They're like ingredients in your food or something. What's in this salad? Oh, stuff I found on the street. You want to know, where do you get your lettuce? Some guy gave it to me. Had it in a bag with an old car radio and stuff like that. You want to know where your ingredients come from, and you want to know where your words come from, because they are in the most intimate spot in yourself. Where, in your underwear? No, unless you think in your underwear. Some people do. I keep a few extra brains all over my body. Because, like I say, well, what do I need my spleen for? So I use it as an extra brain. And things like that. I also have some brains in my hand. You've heard of muscle memory? Well, that's because I actually have tiny little brains in my fingertips. And I'm always hitting them. And that causes a form of fingertip dementia. Oh, we know that this language is something that's all around us and that is in control. And as they said in Dune, whoever controls the language controls the universe. That's right. So where are your words coming from? Mine, you think they're coming from your own head. Oh, I'm coming up with these ideas, but maybe they aren't. When you meditate, that's when you sit there and don't think anything, but you are thinking something. You're thinking, don't think, like that. It's very difficult to get away from the language. Now, once upon a time, we didn't have language. When I say we, I mean me and my friends. We just recently discovered it because of the internet, I think. You know how ideas spread so quickly. But we as a human race, we didn't have it. We communicated in other ways. And you know that from old movies. There's old caveman movies, you see, where people just go, ugh, ugh, ugh. And I think that was probably right. Now, how did the director tell the actors what they wanted? Ugh, 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 ugh. Like that. It was very confusing for them. The actors would go, oh, ugh, ugh, ugh. But we all caught on eventually. You point at something enough and go, rock. You mean rock. Let's have a word for it. Language is a very strange thing. Naming and identifying things is very strange. And what about coming up with words for feelings like that? How did you come up with a word for love? Or, you know, because once you come up for a word for it, come up with a word for it, up with which we cannot say, then you've identified it and you've arrived at a definition. So I wanted to speak to you today in those very words, using them recklessly. I don't even know what they are, where I got them, but I'm going to serve them to you. One time, and I believe it was right around Halloween or one of those holidays, maybe Christmas, where people exchange things that you eat, a bag of cookies showed up on my doorstep. Not my front doorstep, but my side door. A bag of cookies that was unlabeled, had no card on it or anything, and I was reluctant to eat them because I don't just eat strange bags of cookies. Now, I'm pretty sure that my neighbor dropped them off. Maybe the card blew away. But there they were, just like four or five chocolate chip cookies sitting there. And I thought, well, if my enemies are trying to poison me, this is dumb because everybody knows that you don't just eat a found bag of cookies. But I just let them sit there. I couldn't decide whether to eat them or not. And eventually I threw them away. That's because I didn't know where they came from. But words, words I let into my head. I opened the door to my tent. You have a door on your tent? It's a very expensive tent. I got it for festivals, but it's actually too large because it was an army tent, the kind that officers live in. You follow me?
I think so, but I don't want to follow you into the tent.
Why?
Because it smells like engine oil.
I know. I got it for a good price. But I let things into this tent. I let them come in there and I say, just you can bed down here. Sleep on one of these cots. Where'd you get that mattress? I don't know. I found it on the side of the road. Perhaps it's got bugs in it. Perhaps the words that you are using have bugs in them. Have you examined? I'm choking on my own. I call it saliva because everybody else does. Some people call it spit, but spit is what you do. It's a verb. You spit saliva or you hawk a loogie. Is that the expression? There are people whose job it is to examine words. And what are they using? Words. Oh my gosh, they're using words to look at words, to describe words. Isn't that like a reflection of a reflection of a reflection? Yes, it's an infinity mirror. An infinity mirror. Where you're just looking at a reflection. But the reflection is a reflection. So is there any new information coming in? No, it's just old information bouncing around, bouncing back and forth like light. Oh, all our thoughts are bouncing back and forth like light, and we think that they're aimed and we're getting information from the universe, but perhaps we're just getting information from information.
What are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm using other people's words. I'm but a puppet. I'm but a puppet. I feel sometimes like Chuck McCann's hand is up my wazoo, and he's going, your name's Mr. Peanut or something like that. Is it? Is it? I was told what my name was when I got to this earth. I don't remember at the time. They spanked me and they said, your name is going to be Hardy. I don't remember that happening, but I know it did. And from that point on, I knew that language was important. People were yelling words in my face. Mama, mama, say mama. Why do I have to say mama? I'm screaming. The screaming gets me the milk. When I yell out to the universe like that, universe has a definition, does it? Oh my gosh, I got to learn all this stuff. And as I learned the words, I think my world became smaller because it seemed like it was larger without the words. And yet I can use the words to expand my universe. When I walk down the sidewalk in my neighborhood, and I step upon the individual squares of pavement, I imagine that each one is descending incrementally into the ground, becoming steps, and I walk down into a subterranean world. And that world is not dark like a cave. No, no, that world is light and brilliant because it's exactly like the surface world, but different in one small way. And that way is, as I walk past a tree, that tree slightly bows towards me, acknowledging my presence, another living thing. As I walk by a bird, it circles towards me, dips down, acknowledging my presence. Now why, if I am imagining these things, does not the tree say, hello, friend? Why does the bird not land on my shoulder and say, how's your day going? Because my brain operates in mystery. I am from a universe of mystery. And so things are not clear-cut. and they could always go one way or another. That bird is saying hello, or maybe I'm just imagining it. That tree is bowing towards me, or maybe I'm just imagining it. And if it goes slightly one way or another, then I can say yes for sure. And I don't want to say for sure. I want there to be some mystery. I'm a creature of mystery. Aren't we all? We are dreamers. And our minds are the place that are the most free. Oh, this world tends to oppress us, doesn't it? Everybody wants to dictate what language we use. If you look at an argument or something online, don't do that because your brain will explode. And you don't even know if they're real people. Oh, we're living in an age of bamboozletry. And those words get in you and you find yourself repeating things and repeating phrases that you did not come up with. And all of a sudden those phrases are repeating in your head and your fears are defined and your fears become poetry. Poetry written by some maniacal poet trying to gain power and control. Oh, you'll lose the power of your own poetry that comes from your heart. Your heart's a little aspiring writer sitting there in a writing workshop. Ah, today is the day that I present my heart poem to the others. What will they say? I'm not sure that they are qualified critics. They are also students like myself, but I gotta hear their feedback. I have to listen to their words and take them into account, even though they know no more than I do. Can we just ask the professor? Writing workshops are like getting a jury trial instead of a judge trial. So, oh my gosh, I got to listen to my peers. What do they know? What do they know? The first word that I ever said, or one of the first ones, I know this because it's written on a photograph, I believe, of me sitting by a pond where there's ducks. My mother used to take me to this pond, and I don't remember where it was. I can't remember. I feel like it had strawberry in the name or something. I don't think it did. Strawbridges? I think that's a shopping center. But anyway, she'd take me to this lake, and there's a duck, and I used to say quack, quack, I think, which is a very complex word. Because I think even, how much is that in Scrabble with that Q in it? It's probably worth a lot. Do you think words in terms of what their Scrabble value is? I wonder what words you're using. Even very long, complex words can have a low Scrabble value if they've got like tons of vowels and everything in because they are made up of very common things. And short words can have uncommon letters in them, uncommon sounds. You have uncommon sounds in you. You are a wonderful short word, perhaps, but with great value. What are you talking about? I don't know. I'm just trying to make you feel better. Life is hard. I realize that. I'm trying to lift you up a little bit. I'm trying to use words in strange combinations. I'm trying to do things, maybe hypnotize you out of literal understanding. Sometimes I don't even use words. Religious people know this. Mystics know this, that sometimes we must transcend literal meaning. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't have meaning. I mean, what if I was to say that? You say, oh, you know, let's just make sounds about the universe. You say, well, they're not more accurate than words about it. Why? Why would that be? Are you saying that the universe has some meaning that's confined to just the words that we come up with? That's very strange. So, you know, if I was just to point and say to the heavens and go, ugga, ugga, like that, that's more accurate than what the heavens actually are? Oh, that's baloney. The heavens are baloney. Well, they're not baloney. Like if you're a vegetarian, they're not baloney. What are they? They're some sort of loaf made of vegetable protein. They could be. We don't know. I like to be open-minded, and I like to think, gosh, we don't know. But some things we do know. I have a hard time with some of my philosophy saying, you know, perhaps everything is perception. And you're going, well, I see it too. I go, okay, give me a minute. So some things can be objectively proven, and it's good to be skeptical, but I notice there's a trend among a lot of people, and that is that they are skeptical, which is wonderful. And they say, you know, there are wonderful possibilities. That's great. And the thing that everybody else believes is perhaps wrong, that's great. And then they come up with something crazy that they say is absolutely true. So a lot of times, people who are skeptical are also tremendous bigots or people that have nothing but faith in something. Isn't that interesting? Yes, I don't believe that the heavens are vast. Oh, yeah. We don't know. Scientists don't know. That's true. In fact, the heavens are a black velvet painting. It's like, well, you know, you can't replace dogma with another one. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So some things we should try to prove and answer. I like to say, I don't know. I don't know. That's better than saying you don't know. Don't say you don't know. Say I don't know. Right? And then you can have some ideas and work towards knowledge. But don't accuse other people of not knowing necessarily if you don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Let's break that down. Who are you? I don't know. Let's stop right there because you're going to get your brain all twisted up like it's a pair of jacket shorts put on incorrectly. A friend of mine, or boxer shorts could do it. A friend of mine did that. He's wearing boxer shorts and it twisted funny and it got his privates all twisted around and made him faint and he hit his head. So, you know, the wrong underwear can have very bad consequences. Know what you put on your body, in your body, in your head. Question it. Go beyond the words. Start by listening to Miracle Nutrition. What is Miracle Nutrition? Oh, I think it's this show. Is it a show or is it a friend? Oh, I'm a friend. Unlike other things nowadays, you look on the internet, somebody's name is talking to you with a little picture. It's like, oh, look at that fellow with a mustache standing by a motorcycle. He is mad at my opinion. Who is that person even? Are they really a person? Are they who they say they are? I'm a real flesh and blood person. Here you can hear the doubt in my voice. You can hear me. You can hear the vulnerability in my voice. I'm a fellow human being. I am not sure of anything. I am not here to have power over you. I don't want you to use my words. I am not spouting phrases that I learned from anybody but my mother. Also, well, no, that's not true. From literature also, and things that I read and half understood, which is most things. I like to read books on science and philosophy and history and all those sort of things. Do I understand them completely? No, but that doesn't keep me from explaining them to people. Because I want to feel like I understand. So I will latch on to phrases and things like that. And I will spout them. Latch on and spout. That just triggered a memory of a dream I had recently. Where I was in a tiny boat on a dark canal. That's a recurring dream for me. A tiny boat. A dark canal. Going somewhere. And my hand was in the water. And while my hand was in the water, it was bitten by a very large deep sea fish, not a common fish, but one of those scary, extra slimy fish with large teeth. And it clamped down on my finger of my right hand and it would not let go. I couldn't get it off and I was feeling some panic. And I was pulling and it wouldn't let go. Its teeth seemed to be curved in the other direction. So the more I pulled, the more my finger became stuck in the mouth of this horrible fish. The slimy things lived on, and so did I, and so did I. Felt like the Ancient Mariner. And finally I got my finger free, and it had shredded my fingernail. This is all in a dream. This didn't really happen. Or did it? Or did it? Or did it? Is my dream just a symbolic, poetic reflection of something that did happen in my life? And I looked under my fingernail and the fish had laid some eggs or something under my fingernail. So my hand was becoming some sort of parasitic hatching ground for this fish's progeny. That was terrifying. I think I realized later that it was probably some deep arthritis pain in my hand. My hands, I've got the arthritis in my hands and sometimes they ache and throb in the middle of the night, wake me up. Oh, my hands! Like that. Oh, yes. What's that from? Age and genetics. Thank you. My mama gave it to me. It's my inheritance. And now I wasn't able to get it. It's like a trust fund. I had to wait till a certain age to get it. Oh, exciting. I get it. My hands are crippled. But there's so many worse things. A little hand pain doesn't bother me. Take a couple ibuprofen, feel better. So, but I'm saying my brain said, oh, you're being eaten by fish. And that was interesting. That's the way I interpreted it when I was in another world, in that dream world. I like to think about those things. Think about where my ideas come from. Oh, and they're mysterious. They go back very far. Try to trace a word. Where does it? People like to do origins like that. Where does that word come from? Originally, it's a word that meant a tiny malicious elf. Oh, really? I've been using it to describe my hat. Yes, isn't that interesting? I wonder how it became the name of a hat when it used to be a malicious elf spirit. I don't know. Things change and are added to over time. Oh, come into my house, my friend. I know the weather out there is harsh. I know that we live in a world that are full of storms and you need some shelter. Please come into my home here. I know that it is built entirely of sounds, but because it is built entirely of sounds, it defies the laws of physics. And my home is a tesseract. My home is a hypercube. And when we walk in, each room leads to other rooms endlessly. It's been very difficult to decorate. And so I bought decorating your four-dimensional Hypercube is Fun by Dorothy Draper. It's out of print. It's very expensive. But she has some great tips. She'll say, like, get a chair that you like and then turn that chair into a four-dimensional object. And so the chair becomes a time worm. All right? So it's a chair is connected as a physical thing to everywhere it's ever been, including its construction. And it's a beautiful thing. At the end of the time worm, where the chair was being constructed, it's actually linked to the wood in the chair, so that's linked to the trees, and you can see the chair throws off these kind of tentacles that are connected to trees that go on forever, and the threads come from cotton, and that goes to these plants, and you can see the plants everywhere they were. Oh, it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. It's very cluttered in here because of that. But still, it's a safe place from the storm. What about the storm in your head? What about all those thoughts that plague you and haunt you? I know now, you read the news. We have so much information coming at us over the computers and all, that ideas get in our head and they plague us and they can ruin our day completely. Things that are happening on the opposite sides of the world torment us. The views of those who would have power over us torment us. And we are unable to feel joy. And then we believe that it is not our right to feel joy. And that we can never feel it. And that happiness is not a good goal. Joy is not a good goal in life. That survival. Survival to do what? I think that implies, and that's left over from a time where we believe, well, the next life will go on to do it for me. What next life? I'm not sure there is one. I don't know one way or the other. I'm not going to say yes or no. But if this is the only one, and I'm supposed to believe happiness and joy aren't options, well, I don't feel very good about that. I was hoping for some. Maybe I'll just take some. Well, you can't have some. There's other things. Shushy. My head, shushy, those thoughts. Can't entertain all of them. You're not being realistic. Listen, I'll just be whatever. Why don't you be? You have your head. You have your little fair. Don't come to my county fair and tell me how I should run my games of chance. Don't come to my little county fair and tell me how I should maintain my ride. Oh, well, you can do that. I should maintain my rides. I don't want to be hurt. You know, but about the things that are harmless, my cotton candy. Cotton candy's not harmless. It is sort of. Also, the British call it candy floss. I know. What we call floss is something we use to clean our teeth. Ironic.
They don't have dental floss in England.
They don't? I think they do.
No, it's made of candy.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's true or not. Y'all aren't brushing your teeth with, like, sticks of candy or something, are you?
Yes, with peppermint sticks, or what we call peppermint. I'm sure they have another name for it. Peppermint sticks with a Y and a U or something.
Okay. Bless you. I love all my British listeners, my English and Scottish and Irish and sometimes my Welsh listeners, but they can be problematic. That's just because that's a reference to some ongoing drama I've had on the show with an imaginary Welshman who runs everything. Well, that could be. Who knows? Who knows? I like to let my imagination run wild.
Don't do that. Keep it on a leash. It's going to bite somebody. Well, not if you take it to the imagination park, because it can run wild, but there's also confines.
Let it run wild, but with fences. That way it won't get away from you. If your imagination gets away from you, you're going to have to put up imagination flyers that say, "Have you seen this imagination? If so, pull off one of these little phone number fringes and somehow not lose it, even though it's the size of a fortune cookie fortune. And then call that number if you see my imagination. How will I know it's yours? Because it's like everybody else's. It's not unique. I thought it was, but it's not unique. And you realize that when you go to write a book. You go, wow. Now that I've go to put my thoughts down, I realize that they're everybody else's thoughts. I realize that the furniture in my house has been assembled from other people's things. I must have gone to yard sales to get my ideas. I must have gotten used ideas. Are there any new ones? Are there any new ones? There are recycled ones. Sometimes we take old ideas and we break the legs off of them. We grind them up. We make them into some sort of composite material and we build a new one out, but it's the same stuff. Oh, it's the same stuff. A new book has the same old words, and if you were to scramble them around, they're the same words as some older book. Your genetic material, same old stuff. It's in a different combination. That's evolution.
Is evolution real?
Shut up. Not talking about that.
Am I?
Let's find something to disagree on. I will use a word that's charged.
Like Frankenstein's monster, I have run electricity into a dead thing and revived it, and it is now walking around.
And it is menacing others. Why is it menacing others? Because it is tormented. It is tormented with the idea of its own existence, the improbability of its own existence, the pain of its own existence, the pain of knowing that it's created. But for what purpose? For what purpose, you created creature, you wonderful animated monster, you electric corpse? Oh, my friends, I am so glad that we can be together. And what is tethering us to one another? We are climbers on a great mountain, and we are tethered by words. It is words that we connect to one another. When one of us slips and falls into a crevasse, we pull them up using words. Here, grab on to the words. I will use the words to rescue you. You know what? We may never reach the summit. We may perish here, and we may freeze on the side of this mountain like green boots. But you know what? We've got those words that tether us together right now. And we can use them to heal or to hurt. You can wrap a tether around someone's neck. Or you can use it to pull them to safety. I've had professional help before. It's a talk therapy, they say. So you go there and they say, welcome, thank you. Do you need any tissues? I probably will. So they put a box of tissues next to you. And they say, okay, we're going to talk about your problems. And then I say, well, I'm for that, except that's exactly how I got into this situation. It was words endlessly talking and thinking of these words haunting me. Is there any way to get them out of my head? I think I'd be fine without the words. It's the words that are tormenting me. They're saying things to me over and over again. I'm saying these things to myself, and I believe if the words weren't there, I would just be going, making sounds or something. Music has no words. Some of it does, some of it does not. We call it instrumentationalitis music. And that music is simply sound. And it's still evocative, doesn't it? Isn't it? Doesn't it? Didn't it? Right? Oh, it sounds closer to how you could describe the universe. I've felt, have you ever listened to Bach and go, yes, you're right. You go, hell, he's right. He's just saying notes. I know, but it's something rings true about those notes in combination. There's something right about that. There are those who said, oh, you know, music of the spheres, that the, this is not possible, but that the worlds, the planets make sounds as they can't, there's no air, as they go around one another and everything like that. But that's all about sound. There's no sound in space. We know that from the movie Alien that says when you scream in space, make sure that you're inside one of the climate-controlled spacecraft. Otherwise, your scream is wasted. Was I screaming? No, I was running in a dream last night. I was trying to run to get away. Because I had one of those dreams where a bully was attacking somebody. And the bully was going to, I thought, was going to hurt me and my friends. So I hurt the bully first. And then once I heard the bully, everybody looked at me and said, murderer. And so I was like, wow, I did. He didn't really do anything. What have I done? And so I ran because I'm a coward, and I was running in slow motion. And I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran into a cemetery. And my friend said, here, hide in here. And they opened up one of the gravestones, and it was too small. I said, I can't get in there. That's too small. And then I woke up. That's terrifying. And now somebody's sitting there. There's a psychologist sitting at home going, ha, 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 ha. I know what that means. Yes, we're all at war with these feelings inside of ourselves. Oh, you seem like such a peaceful person. How could you dream about harming others? I know. Because where do you think it goes when I bury it? It's still in my brain. Even though I'm suppressing my thoughts of aggression, even though I'm suppressing the violence in my life, it still lives in my consciousness. I'm still frightened inside, even though I'm keeping up a brave face because I want to help you. But I got to tell you, I'm also scared. I'm scared of things. Oh, my goodness. I'm less scared when I'm with you. I feel like even... And it's not because I think we won't be harmed. It's because there's something about being together that makes it more bearable. There is something about being together that makes the joy more possible. We are all drawn to others. We feel that emptiness when we're not with it. Now, I like being alone. Don't get me wrong. I like being alone a lot, and I like being alone with myself when I'm not tormenting myself, because I can speak to myself sometimes wordlessly. Now, it's just seconds. It's just fleeting moments. Most of the time, I'm speaking and thinking in words in this language that I inherited, but I'm also acting in a language that I inherited, my biology. I'm doing things that I didn't program myself to do. Everything is a sort of language, and we're sort of trapped in it, aren't we? But, you know, reality is outside of that language. Or is it? Is it? Is it? Is it? Is the physical world itself a language? Things have order. Things have meaning. Do they? I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I'm going to go to my grave not knowing. You know, we live in an uncertain world. We always have. And if you get the feeling that things are more uncertain now than they've ever been, you're probably wrong. It's always uncertain. The end is always looming for all of us. You know? and we sometimes we confuse the end of the world is an idea, because every one of us, our world ends. And so when we have an idea of, oh, there's a catastrophe and then the world ends, yes, guess what? That's going to happen to every single living thing on earth. Maybe not at the same time, but see, when you go, it all goes. So the end of your world is the end of the world, because you won't be here. So your world does end. So everything culminates with the world ending. So people say, well, if I knew the world was ending, I would do so and so. Well, your world is going to end, and you don't know when. So why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you saying, well, maybe, well, rob a bank? No. Come on. Don't do that. But, I mean, all the great things that are in your heart. First of all, get all your fears out of the way. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge that you're fearful. Acknowledge that you're weak. Accept it. Then maybe you can be free. That's a sort of freedom. Any freedom that I have ever felt in my life, it's from letting go of the illusion of control, the illusion of power. And yes, that's frightening, but once it's gone, I feel free. You say, I want to be free as a bird. You know how long birds live? Not as long as you'd like. I want to be free like a fly for 10 days or something, or whatever they live. 2 weeks, 18 days. I don't know how long a fly lives. But in that time, oh, the things that I could do. And if I didn't know it was that short, that'd be wonderful. That's why they don't give you the hour of your death. They don't tell you when you're going to die. Well, sometimes they do. They go, it was pretty soon. All right, dang it. But usually it's a mystery. That's why young people think it's never going to happen. They don't tell you, because you do nothing but think about it. And if there weren't words, you might never even know that it's going to happen. You might never think it's going to happen to you. Oh, words, oh, language, what have you done? Oh, poetry, you two-edged sword. Well, one side's not a sword. It's some kind of nice little, it's kind of a rubbery end that you can use to scrape crumbs off of your table or something. The other side's a blade. But one side is for making you feel good or something. So what's a good analogy? It's like if a hammer had, you know, a hammer side on one, and then you flip it around, and instead of the nail-removing claw was a, what, feather? I don't know. Something nice. Ice cream? Ice cream hammer? I don't know. It's up to you. Take your words back. Take the words that you have been given and rearrange them a bit. That way, maybe they won't haunt you. That way, the words that other people hurl at you, use to define you, you cut them up. Cut them up like you're making a data collage. Take the words that you are given, the phrases that people use to control you, to hurt you. Take that phrase, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm inferior, I'm powerless, I'm a weakling. All those things that people use, all those names they call you, take your scissors and cut it up and make a collage and make a little face out of it or something. Control it. You don't have to use them the way you get them. Yes, you must use them. You can't escape from it, but you can rearrange them. You can change the incantation. You can change it. Take it and move it around. Cut the paragraphs up. Make it something different. Make it yours. Then you have a little, you can only have a little control, but you can have it. In your little universe, in your mind, you can have some of it. Now, our minds don't always cooperate. We've inherited those too. I did not build this house that I live in. And some of the houses that we live in, your brain, have something wrong with them. That's not necessarily wrong. It's just some unique feature. A unique feature that can be challenging, like a leaky roof or termites or something. They're not always perfect. It's It's what we have. And we have to struggle. And we have to recognize that the neighbor is struggling with a leaky roof. Perhaps I can help you. I'll come over and I'll help you mop up the puddle on your floor after a rain. I know that dry days, your leaky roof is not a problem. But when it rains, that leaky roof can be devastating. And I acknowledge that some of y'all got leaky roofs. I got my own house problems. And so I would like to be patient and gentle with that. I would like to not use these words to harm. You know, that's just me. Maybe I am a Goliath's Mulligan or a Prosperity. I know that I've been told, hey, Hardy, I think you're as Agalabob. What are you doing? I'm trying to get beyond the definitions. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. And I try to always be honest with you, but I'm not sure I am because I'm not sure I'm honest with myself. And so everything that I say to you, if I'm deluding you, I'm deluding myself. If I'm fooling you, I'm fooling myself. Probably I'm never fooling you on purpose. But you might be just a casually collateral damage from my own lack of self-knowledge. I realize that. But I will confess something to you, because that's all I do is confess. Why? Do you want absolution? Mm-mm. No. The reason I do any confession at all is because it's like taking off a mask at a costume party. It's not that I want acceptance or anything. It's not that I want to be absolved of anything. It's not that I want to unburden myself necessarily. I just want to say, hey, it's me. It's a person. It's not a scary demon. Like when you scare a child with a mask and you go, no, wait, it's Uncle Hardy. It's Uncle Hardy. Don't be scared. It's just me. That's why I do it, to expose myself. That phrase has been ruined. Thank you for ruining phrases, too, so that I can't accurately define what I want to say because the phrase has been co-opted by somebody for something else. Thank you for that. So I can't say expose myself because people mean it means showing off your privates or something like that. Good gosh. That's another thing. Can't communicate properly because a lot of words have meanings that you can't combat. I run into that all the time. So much advertising has taken language that I go to say something accurately and all I do is evoke some image for some product. That's very frustrating. You try to speak truth to somebody and the truth has been taken by somebody with an agenda that's selling something. So I inadvertently, as I try to communicate the truth, I inadvertently shill for a product. Imagine that. I don't know whether to start speaking in another language. I don't know what to do. Make little beeps. I'm never sure. Embrace it. Talk about it until it loses its meaning. Sometimes that's good. You say a word over and over again. Book, 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 and then book doesn't have any meaning. Book doesn't sound like book anymore. Book. Right? Sound like, we sound like a chicken. Book. Now we're talking about chickens. Can't win. But I will tell you this. When I go on the radio like this, all I want to do is connect with people. All I want to do is know that we have somehow mystically connected. That I haven't just bounced off the surface like rain on a window shield that's been treated with, or you mean windscreen, that's been treated with some kind of chemical that makes it bead up and the water doesn't. That's a bad analogy. Skip that. Back up now. Like rain that gets on a couch that's been treated with, I don't want to say Scotchgard because that's a brand, but you know, with that kind of stuff. I want the water to seep in. I want it to seep into you. And so when it beads on the surface, sometimes I am discouraged. And it's easy to be discouraged when you do art, communication, poetry, anything like that. Read your poem to a person and you can just see it bouncing off the surface, not going in. Oh, there's nothing worse. Playing a song for someone and you just see the water beating on the surface and just falling away and not penetrating, not moisturizing. You know, that can be discouraging. And I'm not saying I don't get discouraged. I get discouraged constantly. And because, you know, when you take off your mask and you go, it's me, sometimes people go, who cares? I don't care if it's you. I don't know you. And you're momentarily crushed, right? Disappointed. Say, well, I've been rejected. But, you know, it's a trap. It's a trap, see? See how that works? See a movie, it's taken that from you. You don't even see a bear trap. You just see Admiral Akbar. Weird. It's weird. I feel like I can't. It almost feels like there's been. It feels as if that Scotchgard has been sprayed on everybody, so that individuals just don't have the opportunity to penetrate the way that, you know, movies do, or some big artistic endeavor. Do you know what I'm saying? That we used to be able to get through to one another. But now the only thing that gets through to each other is something on a large scale like that, some giant thing that can get through. That we can't just one person to another get through. We evaluate art like that, you know? It's very difficult. You go and you just see like a local singer or something singing a song. You're not going to get very excited about it because, well, nobody knows it. But I mean, it doesn't mean that their music isn't as evocative or they're not saying something that can move you. But things have changed. And yes, I believe that we all as individuals are a little more powerless than we used to be when communities were smaller, when you know, in the days of real folk music, people play music on a porch or something, would move one another. Now we have ideas about art that have changed too. So anytime I, as a humble, unknown person, as a small, tiny little ant artist, if I may call myself that, that's what I'm aspiring to, not what other people have declared me. No one's ever accused me of that. But what I'm trying to do is create something, a way beyond words to get through to you, and not to convince you of something, just to show you my own likeness, my own humanity, my own similarity. That's all I want to do, so you know you're not alone. That's all I want to do. Is tell people you're not alone. I'm here too. I have a whole range of things in my head. I am both powerful and powerless, just like you. I am both confident and unsure, just like you. I feel pain. I feel pleasure. I feel both of them at times when I'm not supposed to. Right? All my emotions are inappropriate. Sometimes I feel joy when I should be feeling grief. I feel grief when I should be feeling joy. And I just want you to know you're not alone. And I want you to hear that from somebody whose next word isn't, so buy my book. I've got nothing for you to buy. So I'm not trying to be a product. I'm not trying to get a name for myself. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have all these desires. Boy, would I like to be a big deal. Boy, would I like to be a big deal. I'd love to be famous, and I'd love to walk into a restaurant and everybody knows my face and they say, oh, look, it's Hardy White. Hardy White is here. We are all blessed and better for his presence. Come on in, sir. Come on in. Would you like a free complimentary house salad? with your entree, which you'll pay for because you're not that big. All right, I'd love to have a friend. Thank you so much. Look, we've named a cocktail after you. That's happened, by the way. I don't get anything from it, but it's nice. It's nice to have a cocktail or a sandwich or something named after you. You do feel a little bit like you've accomplished something. I would love to be a big deal, but you know, there's something in me that stops it. There's something in me that says, oh, I don't know. Probably it's a lack of ability. I don't even realize it. I think I'm doing it willingly. I'm probably not. But there's something in me that says, you know what? I think that, you know, you don't want to be a big deal. You just want to be a deal. You just want to be able to have an effect like everybody has an effect. You just want to know that you have some worth, that you're part of a big thing, that you have some place in some imaginary community. You know, when we were children, meaning me and Butchie and Lou, we'd watch Mr. Rogers, you know? And there's so many things that people love about him. And that neighborhood of make-believe, everybody, no matter what their quirk, had a part there. Everybody belonged. Everybody was sort of an equal citizen, weren't they? Whether they were weak or strong, whether they were powerful, everybody had their moments, and they all contributed. Now, King Friday was the king, but obviously he was childlike and pompous, and he needed help too. You know, people sort of just let him be king, didn't they? So we all really, I think, crave nothing more than that. Just knowing that we are an important part of something. Even if it's small, let me be part of a community, right? Let me know that I'm contributing something, that I have some worth here, that what I do is valued. Because we all want that, right? Oh my gosh, think of how many things we could solve, the problems we could solve, how many hearts we could heal if we didn't have certain expectations. If we didn't have certain strange values that require other people to lose for us to win. No, I'll never understand that. Doesn't make any sense logically. Go and study decision theory or something. Someone else losing doesn't mean you win. You know, it just doesn't. So I don't know, understand that sometimes about the human heart, but there's a lot I don't understand. Maybe I only think I understand anything. And I think the only thing I really understand are very, very basic emotions. I know when I'm afraid. I know when I have joy. I know when I feel love. I know when I feel anger. And that's about it. And I even wonder if they would be so distinct if I didn't have words for them. If you didn't have words, you wouldn't have all this wonderful technology. Yeah. It's like saying, well, if you didn't have a leg missing, you wouldn't have that wonderful prosthetic limb. I don't know how much it contributes, really. Are these all these things that, you know, we have just because the words force us to? I don't know. I don't know. But if I just got on the radio and said, I don't know, over and over and over again, it wouldn't be very entertaining, would it? Oh, please entertain me, hearty. Tell me a little story so I can go to sleep. I know that some people have fallen asleep to my show. Some people say, oh, I listen to it on long car trips. Others say, if I did that, I would fall asleep. Oh, don't do that. I don't want you to fall asleep. Wake up right now. Wake up and look at the things that are difficult. You will not perish if you Do this in your mind. You should go into the safe confines of your mind. Make it a safe place. Kick out those thoughts that will haunt you. Kick out all the demons. Take the demons of self-doubt. Take the demons of fear. Lock them up in a cage. You can't kill them. I had a dream one time that some mysterious couple, it was some sort of woman goddess or something, and she was strange and scary looking. Almost like I don't know what she was, but she was wild looking, and I couldn't look directly at her, and she had either skulls on her or something, and she was there, and with a quiet monk, and I was in this sort of cellar, and they were sitting at a table, and then there was a little jail cell, and the jail cell had all these kind of little demons in it, like demon children, and I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "I have taken your demons from you. They will never be destroyed, but I can keep them out of your way. But you owe me." And the monk said, "Yeah, I'm against it, but I'll watch them." And so this monk was going to watch over those demons in that jail cell. But I was required to go do something now that they were out of my way. They could never go away. They could never really go away or be destroyed. The things that we wrought, the things that we produce have consequences. There are consequences of the things that we think and do. But they can be wrangled. They can be watched over while we go out and repair the world and make things better for one another. It's so easy to destroy things, and it's so difficult to build them. Just watch, go online or something and look at a high rise or something being demolished. Boom, they blow it up, it falls to the ground in an instant. To demolish a house takes an instant. To build it, think of what it takes to build it. Creating is more difficult than destroying, but destroying gives you this satisfaction that you've done something and you've done it quickly. So we're addicted to the destroying because the creating is difficult. It takes time. It takes concentration. It takes faith and consequence. Oh, don't be afraid to create. Don't be afraid to lay that one brick at a time. Because then eventually, you're going to have something wonderful. You know, take time to make friends and understand one another. Take time to examine things. Take time. One little thing, see how they go together. Look at the details. Slow down. Stop trying to attack before you're attacked. All right? And when you encounter that hostility, take a step back and just look at it. And kind of cock your head back and forth like you've never seen anybody be angry before. Right? That's what I have to do sometime. I have to pretend I'm a robot. What is this reaction? Like that. Instead of just reacting and meeting it with the same sort of language. Words. The mental house in your head. Oh, thank you for joining me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for giving me your attention. I hope I've helped or entertained or something. Did I make you laugh a little? What reaction did you have? Well, you don't want to know. All right, good. Don't tell me. I don't need to know. Things will take care of itself. Thank you for being with me. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you, and I will see you again next week. And I
Sinners Crossroads people, how y'all feeling this evening? Hopefully the Dixie Hummingbirds and the Angelic Gospel Singers made you feel a little better. Jesus will answer prayer. Recorded about 1952, a joint session between the Dixie Hummingbirds and the Angelic Gospel Singers. It's been reissued several times over the years. Jesus will answer prayer. And we got things underway this evening with the Daytonians from their great Let Jesus Work It Out LP on the Church Door record label. I got everything I need. Ain't got much, but I had everything I need. Good motto for tonight's Sinner's Crossroads Gospel broadcast. My name is Kevin Nutt. Thanks for tuning in, brothers and sisters and good folk. Hang in there. We have the Trumpeteers. Saints. Early Church of God in Christ congregations referring to their fellow worshipers and believers as saints. So when the saints go marching in, the Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal folk marching into heaven. But it could be you or me. See what you think and see how you feel. The trumpeters, when the saints go marching in, here on Sinner's Crossroads. WFMU.
Well, when the saints go marching in,
saints go marching in.
Well, when the
saints
go marching in,
saints go marching in.
Well, you know I want to
be in the holy number.
And I want to
be in
the holy number. I want to
be in the holy number.
And when the
saints
go marching in, well, then when the
saints go marching in,
saints go marching in,
saints go marching in.
Well, when
the saints go marching in,
saints go marching in.
Well,
then I want
to
be, then I want
to
be.